Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are in this week's segment of Broad Appeal, a segment we bring to you every Wednesday at 4:30, where we talk to women elected officials, political leaders, activists, organizers, and folks that need to hear from women more. This is the place to find them every week, 4:30 on this very program. We've got Representative Angelina Cruz of Assembly District 62. She is a lifelong teacher. She now also is the president of Racine Educators United and, of course, is serving Assembly District 62 and our wonderful state legislature. We're happy to have her here. Before the segment, we were talking about some of the terrible history of voucher schools. They were first used en masse all across the Deep South following the Brown v. Board of Education to set up segregation academies using taxpayer dollars. They have always been used as a way to siphon dollars away from free, widely available public education. And you wanted to talk a little bit about what went down in this last biennial budget about voucher school funding versus public school funding, please.
Yeah, absolutely. So I will say openly that I voted against the state budget. I primarily ran on a platform of pro-public education, I think, that to no one's surprise. And so I was very disappointed with what was put forward in terms of it not being enough. As we covered earlier, we've had over two decades of disinvestment in the public school system. And so what was put forward in terms of public school funding, we had some modest increases to special education reimbursement, 42% the first year, up to 45% in the second year. But we also had that in conjunction with $0 in new general aid for both years in the biennium.
Yeah.
And so while we won modest increases to special education, that should never have precluded in putting money into general aid.
General aid for schools, and every school has been having massive problems. And I think they've gotten worse post-COVID, right? Because you've seen enrollment slightly drop in public schools. A lot of public school funding is driven on a per pupil basis. They're counting heads literally when the school year starts, as any teacher will tell you. And I wanted to just lean into the special education funding reimbursement rate for a moment, if you will.
Absolutely.
Because it is one of the grossest inequities that is so clear that you can point to. First problem between voucher schools and public schools is voucher schools can decline admission to any student who might need an individualized education plan, right? Mm-hmm. The IEPs or disabled students. So, we don't want to do that. Public schools can't. They are the educator of last resort. And so the idea that a public school special education reimbursement rate would be at, say, let's just call it 45%, when a voucher school's reimbursement rate, courtesy of Scott Walker and the MAGA regime here in the state of Wisconsin, is at 90%. I think it's even a little over 90. What is the reimbursement, and why are those rates so important, and why is the failure to increase them for public schools creating a real and active daily harm to public schools?
Correct. So the reimbursement rate is related to the billing amount that it costs to deliver services that are stipulated in individualized education programs. So services that special education teachers and special education teams determine. So those are comprised of not just the teachers, but also administrators and advocates and parents, in many cases, the students themselves. They come up with a plan to make sure that the needs of the child are met in the educational setting. And then once those services are delivered, teachers are responsible for documenting and submitting billing. And so what the state of Wisconsin is currently reimbursing those costs at are about 30% is what they currently stand. So we just bump that up to 42% this first year. They'll be reimbursed. Where does the rest of that cost then come from? What covers the other 70% that comes from the general funding sources. So the funding sources that we get through the general aid that go that are allotted our pure pupil expenditures that are allotted to districts, and that total amount, the money is then pulled from that pool of money. And
it's like a double whammy, right? Mm-hmm. So the public schools have more on a relative basis, meaning how many sped students to as a proportion of your total school population. Public schools now have a higher proportion of sped students as compared to what they did even 10 years ago, because voucher schools will decline admission to kids that have complex special needs. And so it's pulling out of the general fund, which they don't have enough money from to begin with. And they're getting a double whammy because they don't get reimbursed like the voucher schools do. It makes me so mad. So Representative Cruz, what are we going to do about this?
Yeah.
How do we begin to...
I also want to...
Please.
Underscore. So we got $0 in new general aid for both years in the biennium. However, voucher and charter schools... taxpayers are on the hook for about $1.8 billion guaranteed for funding that system, those systems, over the next 2 years. So fully funded voucher charter schools, not funded public schools, which are the only schools with the commitment, the capacity, and the legal obligation to serve every child that walks through their doors.
We're gonna have to leave it there. I'm so sorry. Time flies when you're having fun with Representative Angelina Cruz. She has got legislation to make the state accountable. Call your state rep and senator and tell them to support Representative Cruz's legislation to fully fund our children's future. Up next, I'm joined by General Russell Honoré. It's going to be an incredible discussion. He was the general that oversaw the Katrina response. Stay tuned.